8816, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
The song is synonymous with two things. Shot or no shot, and the basketball scene in Cable Guy.
I do not know that.
Come on, Dion.
I don't. Is that even a good movie?
Oh, it's fantastic. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. It's so dark and, oh, it's great.
Oh, I don't know if I want to see that.
Oh, it's great. But, I mean, it's hilarious, but it's very dark. It's Jim Carrey. It's Ben Stiller. It's awesome.
Okay.
You need to put that on the list, Dion.
I'll put it on the list. The list is long.
Not to surprise you, but... That's got to be one that you watch.
The must-watch movie list is rather long.
I bet. All right, Shay.
Yeah, shot or no shot.
My good friend.
Carm, it's brought to you by your friends at Club Hawthorne.
That's right.
You win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. Let's start with this. Ryan Poles obviously spoke yesterday, and I think was his most complimentary yet about Justin Fields. Listen to this.
It's just, I think, having him in the building and seeing the progress that he made this first year, getting familiar with our system. Obviously, they're special in the athletic traits. We've seen in college his ability to use his arm, too. So I believe when all that comes together, we can have something special.
So, shot or no shot, it finally sounds like Poles really does believe in Fields.
Oh, shot.
Yeah, that's a shot.
That's a shot, yeah. I mean, he believes in him. He's still watching with a touch of, like, okay, prove it still, right?
They've protected themselves. Like we said earlier,
yeah,
they have protected themselves, which has been the stroke of genius, I guess you'd say, by Ryan Poles this offseason.
Yeah.
Getting another first-round pick next year has protected himself against Justin Fields failing.
Yes.
They will be the team that has the ammunition to go up and get Caleb Williams if need be.
And I would not be mad about that if needed.
If Justin doesn't get better, if he regresses, if it, yeah.
But I don't think that he will.
I don't think so either. I'm not predicting that.
I don't think that he will.
And I don't think that the Bears are predicting that, but they are certainly preparing for it.
That's in a sense.
I
was just going to ask you, is it like they want to be the team that goes and gets Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever ends up being the number one pick in next year's draft? Or you don't expect your house to burn down, but you still get fire insurance?
Yes.
Yes.
That's it.
That's
what they
exactly
have
it.
Is like an insurance plan now. I don't think they want Justin to be bad.
No. But I do think there's also a shot that that Poles has told Justin, relax, dude. We're not making this decision right now. Like, we need you to just be the best. Right. Yeah. We need you to, I think there is a chance that he's done that, given that vote of confidence to Justin.
Like, you
even
have,
more than he said publicly.
You have a year to go. Like, just play.
Just go play,
and everything
Do
will
what
be fine.
You love. Yes.
That's it.
Exactly.
And if Justin's great and he ascends, it'll take care of itself.
Yes.
I mean, they'll pick up the fifth year option and they'll continue to build around him. And if not, they have a backup plan.
I argue that he took a giant leap this year because he was not a runner in college. He said it himself. I didn't do this. No one knew he had that ability.
Well, I don't think anybody thought he'd, you know, look like Lamar Jackson.
Correct.
I mean,
no one thought that. And so I feel like he did take a giant step with his game because now he's shown that he can do both. Now we need him to throw at the NFL level. But we know he has the arm. That's why he was drafted.
Yeah. All right, Shay, what's next?
Still Ryan Poles. He talked about addressing the tackle position. He said as free agency goes on, the talent gets a little worse as well, and added there's a wave of players coming in and that the way to continue to improve the team is going to be through the draft. Shot or no shot? Poles tipped his hand that he's going to take a tackle at 9.
I'm going to say that's no shot, and like, I think there are a lot of games that are played this time of year. I think people in NFL circles, and Dion knows this, you can talk about this even better because you cover this on a daily basis more than I do at this point, but you know how this goes. Little things are leaked and there's drips and drabs because teams sometimes want to use the media to help shape a narrative.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, very much so. Very much so. I mean, if I could, I would lose count on how many stories we've done on some of those drips that have come out that turned out to be nothing.
Yeah.
I'd say, all right, what was the question again, Shay?
Shot or no shot, Poles tipped his hand.
Yeah. No, I say no shot as well.
No.
I don't think he tipped his hand.
And if anything, he could be very calculated in the way he's doing this.
Of course. He's very smart. And he knows what he's saying carries a lot of weight right now. And it's going to be played all over the place. So I say no shot. He tipped his hand. Mm-mm.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot.
All right, let's not forget it is baseball season. Opening day is this week. The White Sox opted to leave Leury Garcia off the opening day roster after a disappointing spring compounded that letdown season last year. That's despite him being set to make $5.5 million. Kind of an interesting decision, a little uncharacteristic. Pedro Grifol talked about this team wants to win and they're going to make winning decisions. And the Cubs did something uncharacteristic too. They have finally gotten an extension done. They added a year of control to Nico Horner with a 3-year, $35 million contract extension. So shot or no shot, it's encouraging to see both baseball teams make uncharacteristic decisions.
Okay, shot. I can buy that. Although, I mean, at the end of the day for the White Sox, what's eating $5 million?
I mean,
come on. Give me a break.
I know. I just think it's funny that La Russa loved Leury Garcia so much.
We can't win without a Leury Garcia on your team, right. Deion.
Longest tenured White Sox player.
He was. Oh, we wish you well,
We wish him well, yeah.
God bless you.
He's no longer with us. We wish him well.
I mean, you know, it's crazy.
All right, shot or no shot that it's good that they're making uncharacteristic
decisions. Yeah. I'd say shot. It's a shot. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a lukewarm shot because, again, what are these teams doing? They're mired in mediocrity. Shot, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I know. Shot or no shot. My team's going to be in the Shohei sweepstakes. That's a no shot. That's what's upsetting. So,
no shot.
Ultimately,
yeah.
You know what? What is... I don't know. I might pivot here. I might pull a cap and flip it midstream, Shay.
No shot.
I might say no shot because what does it really mean for the White Sox? So they ate Leury's $5.5 million. Big deal.
Big deal. That's not a big deal.
You know,
that doesn't change what's going to happen on the field.
Right. Oh, and it doesn't change how they're going to operate going forward.
No.
Maybe that's slightly uncharacteristic. Does that mean they'll be in on the Shohei sweepstakes? No shot.
Right. Right, 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 right.
God forbid you'd want a player like Shohei Ohtani.
Stop yelling at me. Okay. All right.
No, I'm yelling at the White Sox.
I know you are. I know. What was the largest contract for White Sox history?
It's Benintendi.
Benintendi, right?
Benintendi's deal, yeah.
And it's a fraction of...
It's like 79 million.
It's not even keeping up with baseball.
No.
It's embarrassing that that's like the largest contract
it
we've
is.
Ever done.
That's correct.
That's who they are. But, Carm, that's who they are.
And that's why I've changed, and it's a no shot, Shay, because Deion's right. Because it's not encouraging. That's who Jerry is.
Uh huh. Yes.
It is not going to change, unfortunately. And in his mind, there's no play. You know, like it doesn't matter that Shohei's great. It doesn't matter to Jerry.
No, it doesn't.
It just doesn't. Mm-hmm. What matters is not spending money.
And
pretending like you're in it every year.
Oh, we have
when you're really not.
We have a seat at the table. Big deal, Rickon. You don't deserve to be there. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not... Oh. But the extension for Nico, that they got it done. It makes sense. I don't know. I don't know that it says anything...
Not really.
About...
Nico's not Chris Bryant.
No.
Nico's not where Kyle Schwarber was.
Chris Bryant's
not anymore either. I get that. Maybe it all worked out for them, but like, it's not Anthony Rizzo. It's not getting any of those guys back.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Nico's not quite at that level, even though he had a very good year.
He had a very good year. Not yet. Yeah. Maybe he will get there when he over the next couple of years, and then at 29 will be among the huge free agent shortstops, or
maybe it'll be Dansby
or whatever.
Swanson in a couple of years.
That's what I'm saying.
Getting that kind of a deal. I flipped midstream.
Yeah,
so
that's
it's perfect.
No, see,
the way this
I just went lukewarm. Yeah. I shouldn't have gone
no shot.
Committal.
It's a no shot, Shay.
It's a no shot, Shay.
All right, let's talk about this. Charles Barkley was on 60 Minutes on Sunday night.
He
talked about
good.
The NIL. Listen to this.
It's a travesty and a disgrace. I'm so mad now how we can mess up something that's so beautiful.
How do we mess it up?
We can't pay all these players. The next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have 25 schools that's going to dominate the sports because they can afford players. And these schools who can't afford or won't pay players are going to be irrelevant.
Shot or no shot, he's right about the NIL.
Shot. I don't like it.
What don't you like about it?
The discrepancy in the pay is not equal for everybody. I don't like that. I don't like that.
And pay's not equal for anybody.
I know, but this is capitalism. It feels unfair at that age that they are that young making that kind of money. I was looking the other day at the Cavender twins, right? Like they were out at Fresno State and then they transferred to Miami. They're both making millions of dollars, but not because of basketball. Like, is that even giving them a stage? I think they combined average maybe 10 points a game. And they are, when you Google their names, it does not say college basketball player. It says American media personality.
How about that?
Like that. What?
That's kind of crazy.
What is going on?
Good for them, though.
Fair market.
You're worth what someone's willing to pay.
I guess so. But see here, but Caitlin Clark deserves the million.
She's great.
She's wonderful.
She's great.
She's a great representative.
Is she getting paid anything? Is she having an NIL deal?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, millions. I did a deep dive last night.
She's signed to Nike.
She's signed to Nike and like Hy-Vee grocery stores and some other company. I mean, she's got like Buick.
So that's great.
That is great, I guess. But I feel like I just don't like it. I don't like that we went from you can't buy these kids a sandwich to let's hand them $1 million. Like there was in between.
This is a crazy number, Carm. Before you shot or no shot this, Caitlin Clark had reportedly already made more than $1 million in NIL endorsements before she signed with Nike last October.
Wow, pretty good. And now she's got Nike. She's awesome. She's fun.
She's going to be so underpaid in the WNBA.
Oh my god. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like, is there a better alternative for someone like her? I mean, or is that still the most profitable league? Like, is that her best bet?
I thought playing overseas.
I was going to say, like, could she make more money playing overseas? I wonder.
Maybe. Oh, get your act together, WNBA. Do not let her go overseas. Right?
I'm going to say no shot. I think it's good. I think, you know, I love Barkley.
Do you think it's good?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it takes away some of the dirtiness, the scumminess. I think it opens it up to more than just your traditional blue bloods that could spend the most or had the most influential donors or would hire the coaches that had no problem doing the dirtiest of the dirty. I think it you know, and I love Barkley. Barkley makes me laugh in a lot of ways sometimes. You know, there's that great clip of Barkley telling the story about the first time they saw Dirk, and Dirk was a teenager and they were on a barnstorming tour in the late 90s through Europe, and Dirk was lighting up Scotty in a game, and Barkley's like, dude, who are you? And he's like, I'm Dirk Nowitzki. And he goes, you're coming to Auburn. He goes, whatever you want, I'll get it done for you. Now maybe Barkley's playing it up and hamming it up,
I'm sure,
to the cameras a little bit, but what if Dirk Nowitzki said, oh, okay, you're going to tell me Charles Barkley wouldn't have done everything possible in every dirty, inconceivable way to make sure Dirk Nowitzki went to Auburn?
Yes.
Of course he would have.
Yes. I think
he's on video saying it. Whatever you want, I'm going to call Nike and make sure you get to Auburn.
Right.
I mean, come on, Charles. I mean, give me a break.
I feel badly for the mid-majors, the in-betweens, who can't keep up with what other schools can offer.
They'll find a workaround, I think.
But they also never could. Like,
no.
We can't be naive. Right, Duke has been doing this since before it was allowed.
Right.
Like, of course, that's what I mean.
Schools have been doing this since before they could. Those schools never could. It's always been 25 teams that dominate the college sport.
They're blue bloods for a reason.
My thing is, like, if you look at this upcoming NBA draft, only one of the top five players going in this draft played college basketball. But if you look at next year's recruiting, only one of the top 10 is going to go pro. So it's kind of saving the sport.
then it gives them an opportunity to lure kids to college that otherwise wouldn't. Because they can
instead
pay them
going
now.
Overtime them Elite now. Or yeah. G League Ignite or right. Overseas like the Ball Brothers.
Exactly.
You go to school.
Yep.
Yeah.
The NIL thing seems to generate passion on both sides. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about that, 312-332-3776. I mean, we had a lot of conversation about it yesterday when we started the show, when Yerk and I did, just about, you know, we played what Barkley had said and just the feel around the tournament this year and kind of how wild it's been, if you've enjoyed that or not, if you've enjoyed all the casts. First time ever, not a 1, 2, or 3 seed made the Final Four. Do you realize that?
Awesome. It's yeah. awesome.
It's something. And the 4 seed, the only 4 seed is obviously UConn. And that's the one blue blood that did
yeah.
make it mm-hmm. into this Final Four, this final weekend in Houston. 312-332-ESPN. That's the number. Carmen and Deanne, we're in for Cap and Hoodie. It's Spring Trading on ESPN 1000.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same level. Lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
It's been fun these last few weeks. Every Tuesday in March, we did Spring Trading. Carmen and Deanne in for Cap and Hoodie. Greeny's on 10 to noon today. Abdallah and Connor McKnight, noon to 2. And then Yurko and Waddle from 2 to 6. Cap and Black tonight. 6 to 8. That's the rundown. We're live in the old National Bank State Street studio. You can watch us on Twitch today and every day, twitch.tv, or download the free Twitch app.
I'm with Cap tomorrow morning.
You and Cap tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And then Hoodie's back Thursday.
Okay.
Out and about at Old Crow on Clark, south of the ballpark for opening day in MLB. Cubs and Brewers. White Sox open on the road in Houston.
Isn't it every year that it's somehow cold and there's a threat of rain and snow?
So it's gonna, it looks like snow or rain, right?
In the
40s. But it's gonna be in the upper 40s at least.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Not when I start and get there. It's always 15 degrees colder at Wrigley than anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, right.
It's always.
This is it. This is April.
I know.
Or late March, April. This
okay,
is why it
so
sucks.
When we were in spring training, it was very cold.
That's what I'd heard.
Very cold.
I heard they had a cooler
and when we interviewed Cody Bellinger, and I said, I don't know if anyone had told you that Chicago's not L.A., right? Like, our weather is not nearly the same. And he said that he felt like that was preparing them. I was like,
it's not
the same. But he said, man, it stings. That ball stings when it's so cold.
Outdoor baseball, and I know your son plays baseball, too. My son plays baseball. I mean, outdoor practices, we start Monday.
Yeah, ours are coming
outdoor
too.
Practice,
we've been indoor
which
all
I'm,
winter.
Yeah, but we have, which I'm dreading.
Oh, our first game is the 16th of April.
Ours is too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Sunday, right? Is that a Sunday? What's the...
It's a Sunday, yes.
Yeah,
it is
like
a
that,
Sunday.
That's. I think that's ours too, because I think the schedule just came out. Yeah, April 16th.
We play each other?
Just I don't
kidding.
Know.
I don't know.
It's our first today. One, and I'm like, oh my God.
I know, that's a little
I'm not
early.
Ready. It's going to be 38 degrees, and it just, it sucks. It's the way it
you
is.
Know what? Those games need a clock.
Yes. I wouldn't mind
love,
that.
Love my son
I
so
mind
much.
It at
love
all.
Watching him play, but those games need a clock.
So we're at Old Crow. So Hoodie and Cap will be there 7 to 10. Yurko and I are on 10 to 2. We'll talk Cubs, Sox. Benetti's going to join us live from Houston, actually.
Awesome.
Jesse will come by. And then we're going to be drinking Miller Lite. So make sure you see us at Old Crow Smokehouse on Thursday. And then next Monday for White Sox opening day,
yeah.
the Giants will be in town. Yurko and I will be at Buffalo Wings and Rings. We haven't been there in a few years. We love that place. Just down the street from the ballpark. It is 35th and Halstead. Wings and Rings for Monday, opening day from 10 until 2. So
that's
it's nice
curious.
To be out and about. Here we go.
I
it's that time of year.
I love doing that, too. I love that, too.
We'll get to around the NFL here in a second. Then Albert Breer at 8:35. Chef Max on the highway. Maxie, what's up, buddy?
Carmen, you are better than this, buddy. Do not believe the hype.
About what?
Do not believe the hype. This is all a ruse.
What is
a
ruse?
The only people crying about the NIL are the Dukes, the UNCs, all the teams who have been sitting on their butts since the first week of the tournament because they're getting bounced because there's more balance of power.
I agree with you, Max. I agree. I that's why I totally agree. I think it spreads it out a little bit more. I don't mind the NIL.
I think in the past, if a player wanted to fly private and get something under the table from Nike, get paid, they had to go to a big school. The appeal of a small school very much was the community. And I think that the boosters influenced people to go to big schools. But now I think you'll see more marquee players going to smaller schools because the community can support them. I had a buddy in college that I grew up with. He played for Illinois football, and we were out, and someone tried to give him a free meal, and he couldn't accept it because he was worried about his eligibility. So small communities,
yes,
I think, will support these players better, and I think you'll see a lot of players who want to be insulated in these communities, and I think you'll see more marquee names going to smaller schools who now can get a local grocery store sponsorship, not just a major booster.
I agree. I totally agree.
Well, maybe, Max, you're like not talking me into it, but I think I'm agreeing with you a little bit more in that regard. I don't like it.
Some people don't love the idea that college kids, because they're already getting a scholarship, are getting paid on top of it.
This is better. It allows the community, it allows businesses to support athletes in all different kinds of athletics, not just your major sports, not just men's basketball. It means that someone on the women's lacrosse team can go out and can get a free meal when she's eating out. Someone can pay for her laundry in a laundromat.
Yeah.
It gives kids something that it gives the kids dignity. It gives kids a little bit of what they contribute back. This is a great thing.
They can make money to go do their laundry at a laundromat. Go
power
figure.
Power to the people, Carl.
Yes,
you know what
power
I'm saying?
To the people, exactly. The real question is, will you bring us some pork belly ramen from Ramen-san? That's the real question, Max.
Father, I wake up every day thinking, how many more days until the next Bourbon Festival.
I'll do the official count. November. Yes, you do. Every November.
Sounds really fun.
Maxie, thanks, buddy. That's Chef Max from Lettuce. We love it.
You know what? I think I'm jealous. I'm jealous that they make that much money in college. And it took me until I was 36 years old to pay off my college tuition. So maybe it's jealousy.
I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's hard because it was done a certain way for so long.
Yes,
like it's still hard for everybody.
Yeah.
Not everybody loves the idea, because the thing that some people always throw back is, well, they're getting a scholarship. They're getting a free or a partially free. They're getting something paid for their education. But what many of these athletes provide back is greater than the value of their scholarship. And just because they are a college student doesn't mean that they should be prevented from engaging in the same free market economy that the rest of us benefit from. Someone like Caitlin Clark right now is extremely valuable to the University of Iowa.
Yeah.
And she should be allowed to make something off of that. More than just, well, we're paying for your room and board.
Right.
At least that's the way I think about all of this. And I do think, like Max said, like Shay was saying about the way you can attract players still to the college level, that this will be a good thing as we go down the road more and more. I do think that. I think it will spread it out a little bit. Will the Blue Bloods always do well? Sure.
Yes.
Is Alabama always going to do well in football? Of course. They've got some built-in advantages already, but I do think this will balance it out a little bit.
It just, again, I get back to you. It changed so abruptly, so quickly. I mean, Jim Tressel got fired over tattoos and gold pants. Like, what are we doing here, people? What are we doing?
It did change quick, right?
I mean, so
all
fast.
All of a sudden?
Yeah. And I think that's, I'm having a harder time with that, maybe.
Shay, we got around the NFL real quick?
Yeah, we'll just get something in here quickly. I want to talk about, there's updates on the Lamar story. So we know he tweeted yesterday that he demanded a trade. Since then, Dan Campbell has made it clear Jared Goff is their guy. He said he's proven that he's made for us. Goff's our guy, man. Mike McDaniel.
Of course there was a man in there.
Always. Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins absolutely are not pursuing Lamar Jackson. The Commanders have come out and said they won't pursue Lamar Jackson. And Jim Irsay said the quiet part. The money's not a problem. I don't like fully guaranteed contracts.
Oh, wow. Jim Irsay said it. Yeah. I don't like, meaning the other owners have all gotten together and said, hey, no more fully guaranteed contracts, guys.
Right.
I can't believe that teams like Washington wouldn't be in.
That's the
shocker.
I can't. Right.
The only team not saying they're not in is New England.
So that's why he was asked about all that
silence
stuff.
Speaks volumes.
Well, because Bill, what did he say, Shay, or did he not say?
He was asked about the quarterback position. He was asked whether Mac Jones has been proven the starter. What will they do with Bailey Zappi? His response, everybody will get an opportunity to play.
That's like the most Bill Belichick soundbite of all time, though, isn't
in
it?
In March. I mean, especially on, in March. Yeah, of course.
Well, everybody.
He was in mid-season form yesterday.
Everybody gets a chance to play. We're always competing. And we're
he would scare. If I had to cover him, I'd be scared of him. So scared of him.
He was asked about Robert Kraft's foundation. He said, I support it.
Every foundation is a good foundation.
He pushed the NFL Network mic out of the way on the podium.
Really,
he was in mid-season form.
Mid-season form. Every foundation is a foundation we support. They're all going to compete against one another. I'll support it like I support many of my foundations. Everybody's going to get a chance.
Oh
to
go. God,
I mean, it's like the most
really
Belichick thing ever to say is that, like, yes, Bailey Zappi will get to compete with Mac Jones.
Yes.
Of course he's going to say that. So it makes him very special. Coming up, we've got Albert Breer speaking of the NFL. When's the Packer, Aaron Rodgers, Jets nonsense and saga going to be over? Where is Lamar Jackson going to end up? The very latest on the Bears and what they might be targeting in the draft. All of that and more with Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated coming up next.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
How are we going to work this? Same way we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and Dion in for Cap and Hoodie. Spring training continues. Spring training is winding down. Albert Breer will join us hopefully coming up. He is, it's early for him because he's out in Arizona.
Yeah.
The owner's
give him some grace.
So we will. We'll give him a little grace period.
Yeah. He just texted me. We'll work to get him on in the next hour.
Okay. In the next hour. All right. So we'll figure it all out.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot they don't change times for daylight savings in Arizona. So they're not only an hour behind us. They're 2 hours behind us.
Right. This time of year, because we adjusted, we did the spring forward. So that means they're West Coast time now, right?
No.
Well, I shouldn't say that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same time. They don't move the clocks.
They're in Pacific time.
They're on Pacific
time. They were
time.
In Mountain when I was there in February. Now they're in Pacific.
Well, but wait. How does that work?
They're because still in Mountain time. They just don't do daylight savings.
They just
savings.
Don't do daylight savings.
Correct.
They're still on Mountain, but they don't change. When we go forward one, they stay the same.
Entirely I know, too early like it, to do this. Is I what? No, they're the same time as in L.A. right now.
I know, but that's only because they don't change the clocks. They're still not on Mountain.
They're on Arizona time.
Yeah, they're on Arizona time. They're on their own time.
But
how many states don't change? Arizona. And then most of Indiana, right?
Right, but there's a... Yeah, you're right. There's
Northwest
a part of Indiana
does because of the proximity to Chicago.
Right.
They sort of have to be. But like
Hawaii, most of Arizona, Puerto Rico, U.S. Virgin Islands, Mariana Islands, Guam, and American Samoa.
Indiana. I thought Indiana didn't change the club because I know I've been like you can go on that band from Michigan City, which is technically Indiana, not Michigan, right? Is it Michigan
right.
City,
yeah,
Indiana,
it's in Indiana,
to like New Buffalo? The time, like the, well, maybe that's not the time change. That's just where they straddle the time
zone.
So here
you go. 2023 is the first time Indiana's doing daylight savings time.
Oh, okay. So they just started doing it. Okay. That's, there you go. So Indiana actually jumped in. What do you know? And then for a while, they talked about, like, they were going to pass through Congress, but we're going
to
get rid of it
yes.
because it's silly.
No,
it's antiquated.
I don't want to.
It messes with our biorhythms, though, I think.
Oh, it does. It so does. I don't like when it's so, it gets, so dark, it stays or dark in the morning so long. Like, I
right.
like that it starts to lighten up earlier now.
Well, it was even better before we sprung
right.
forward, though. Think about it. The sun, like, 3 weeks ago,
I'm like so
sun
confused
was up at 6 a.m.
Right
I mean, it's very
so
confusing.
I'm so confused right now.
I mean, and then the reason that they like in the 70s, they got rid of it for 1 year. And then they went right back because,
how,
like,
what
let's
was that
say,
like?
So let's say for us in Chicago, let's use us as a comparison. Or just like as the sample. So we spring forward an hour, mm-hmm. okay? So all of a sudden, the sun's coming up at 6 o'clock, right?
The then amount we spring of thinking forward, and now required to figure this out.
Now it's coming up at like 7 o'clock. I don't know. The whole, I don't even know.
Where's Tracy Butler when we need her?
Part of it is, I guess, the further, like, to the west edge of the time zone you are. So for us, it's not as big of a deal, but, like, the further west of the time zone, or the further west in the time zone you get, like, the sun's coming up later and later, and, like, kids are walking to school. You know what I mean? Like, I think they realize, well, we don't want kids walking to school at 8:30 when it's still dark out. And if you don't do the adjustment, the natural sunrise is going, you know what I mean? Like, it's getting, I don't know, the whole thing is crazy.
It does mess.
I'm all messed up now. I'm all confused.
Did we get to the bottom of it, Shay?
I don't know.
I don't think we did.
I know is at one point in the 70s, they said, no, this is silly. We don't need it anymore. It was originally something they did because it gave farmers like extra time
in the summer.
That
was
originally, you push the daylight hours, I guess, just farther into the day where instead of having, you know, so like, okay, well, I think that was the original idea behind it 200 years ago. And then, like, in the 70s, they passed it through Congress. They said, well, this is silly. We don't need it anymore. And then they said, well, no, we don't like it. We don't want kids walking to school in the dark, so let's go back to daylight.
Were they really walking to school?
I think so. I think if you looked at it, yeah, I think, like, if you – I'm probably not doing
– You are exactly right. I'm looking at the article. Yeah. They tried permanent daylight savings, so they would switch to the hour forward and then stay there.
And stay there.
And it says the sun rose at 8:27 in the morning.
Exactly.
Kids were already at school. It was dark all morning, so they went back.
That's why they went back. It definitely affects, again, where you are in your time zone. Like, so we're in Chicago. We're on the very eastern edge.
Mm-hmm.
So the mornings aren't affected as much because we're on the eastern edge of the time zone. But if you start pushing it farther and farther back west of us to the western edge of the central time zone, I think that's where it would really mess with you, and you might not get sunrise times until 8:40 in the morning. And they're we don't want that.
Kids were getting hit by cars, it says.
See?
So it was a safety issue.
So that's why they did it for a year, and then they 86'd it after 1 year. And then, like, 2 years ago, they said, well, this is silly again, and we're going to get rid of it. But it'll never. But the way Congress is now, I don't want to tell Congress what to do.
I don't want to tell our government what to do. But they've got a lot bigger problems than daylight savings.
They probably
make that a federal, like, something we need to discuss? I think
you're right. Like, let's just deal with it.
Let's just deal with it. It takes a couple weeks as we get older for our bodies to adjust and what have you.
It is what it is. But I'm kind of with you. Like, you get. As you get close to spring and, like, you get that first week in early March, you're like, yes, the sun's up. It's like 6:05 and the sun's up.
Right.
You're like, woo, let's go. And then all of a sudden, you know, you do the switch and it's like, man, it's 7:05 and I'm still waiting. I'm like, come on, let's go.
Well, that is what can get depressing is that it's darker longer in the morning and you can go to work in the dark and then come out at 4 and the sun's going down.
This is why when I get older, Dion, I'm going somewhere close to the equator where the time never really changes that much. It's always about 12 and 12. It's always warm.
Yes.
That's why I am going south as I get older and more ornery in my old age.
Because you will fit in so well.
I know. I want to live in the tropics where it is warm. And where there's not as much fluctuation in the daylight.
In the daylight.
Yes. I want to be somewhere in my old age where it is green in February. Okay? Is that too much to ask?
I don't realize how much gray we live in here until you go anywhere else.
Right?
And you're like, wow, everything's so vibrant and bright. We live in like a haze of gray.
And then
gray.
You come back home and you realize for months it is gray
months
and just drab and like there's no life on the trees and in the grass.
I'm not shy about the fact that I like winter, but I also like when it's over. Right. I like when things start to look colorful again. Yeah. I mean, we get one sunny day and we're all like skipping around. We deserve more.
And like this time of year, I look every day and like, are they budding yet? Are the trees budding? Like, come on. And we still have a few weeks.
Give me a sign of life.
Give me, I want to see some color.
I know.
I want to see some flowers blooming. I want to see some buds on the trees.
It's really sad. The grass is, there's no grass.
And that's why when my kids are off to college and beyond, I am out of here. I will be working out of our West Palm station. I don't know
if me with you.
The powers that be at Good Karma are aware of this or not, but I am announcing it now. I will be borrowing studio time for 3 months a year.
Like that written into my
with
deal.
Steve
Ponsignor
right and our company president. I'll be borrowing his office in West Palm. Shane, are you aware of this? I'm making.
Yeah, I just got the email.
I'm going to borrow a studio space for 3 months a year.
It's got Craig's signature on it and everything. I just got it in my inbox.
Craig, do you know that I plan on using the office in West Palm for a few months? I don't know. I can't handle it.
How do I get a transfer now?
Right?
What are we
Come
waiting
on.
For?
Let's go. We're all going down to Florida. That's it. Albert Breer will join us a little bit later. We caught him early because he's out covering the owners' meeting.
And that's what sparked our daylight savings time conversation.
Somehow we went down the rabbit hole, which is our want from time to time on daylight savings. I got another rabbit hole. I got a Forbes list for you I want to talk to you about coming up next. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and Deanne. We are in for Cap and Hoodie. Spring trading continues on ESPN 1000.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Spring Trading. Carmen and Deanne in for Cap and Hoodie. The early shift. It's been fun.
It has been fun.
Right?
Yeah.
Forbes has the list out of baseball's 10 highest paid players for 2022. I don't think it will surprise anyone when we think about the endorsement deals and just how popular he has become that Shohei is number one. This includes on-field and endorsements. Boy, he grew his endorsement portfolio, they write, from $6 million in 2021 to $20
million
in 2022, and now at least $35 million
this is
in 2023. That's in endorsements, putting Shohei at number one. So his 2023 number, they're expecting to be like around $65 million. Because remember, he signed a huge deal last year of his deal. An ARB was $30 million. So $30 million on field for Shohei and an expected $35 million off field coming up in 2023 for $65 million.
That is outrageous.
How about that? And
that's
then
crazy.
And then the drop off goes to the drop off in terms of off field endorsements is where it's staggering. So like Scherzer's making a crap ton of money. But that's all on field.
Yeah.
Scherzer, according to Forbes, you're going from $35 million in off-field endorsements from Shohei down to $1 million for Scherzer. Looks like about $5 million in off-field endorsements for Aaron Judge. Mm-hmm. About the same for Mike Trout. They have him at just under $4.5
million. Have more than that.
Yeah, he's got that Subway money, right?
I know, right? Is that
and
most
Gatorade,
of it?
Right? Gatorade and Subway, but yeah, like these guys don't make. And listen, it's great money, but like, look at what some of the NFL endorsement deals are. Look at what European soccer players get in endorsement
goodness.
Deals.
Right, right.
You know, Mike Trout's making $4 million, and it that actually doesn't like. I would have thought Aaron Judge is making more than $4.5 million in endorsements.
I
would have
thought that too.
Think about what LeBron makes in endorsements.
I can't wrap my
Football,
brain around that.
NBA, European soccer, they are killing baseball players in terms of off-court, off-field endorsements. But baseball's still kind of provincial, I guess, in a sense, right? You know?
Yeah.
And well, so how much is Mike Trout moving the meter for big national companies? Maybe not that much. Even Aaron Judge? I don't know.
Aaron Judge, you would think, though. In New York?
I would think Harper. Harper's not even on their list of top 10, so I don't know what the endorsement number is nationally for Harper. He's always been a pretty big pitch,
man. Was Jeter in a lot of, like...
Good question.
...endorsement things? I don't remember.
I mean, he still is now. He's got he's got one of those insurance companies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was Jordan brand for a long time. He was part of Jordan's portfolio for a long time. Yeah, I would have thought Jeter would have been one of the...
Like, yeah.
the media darling.
Wasn't he sort of the face of baseball for a minute?
Kind of was. I mean, is Shohei the face of baseball right now?
I think he has to. You have to say that, right?
I mean, he's baseball's best player.
Right. Who else would it be?
I don't know. This is where baseball has an issue.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, for a long time, I've thought kind of Harper was one of those guys, especially because he plays at least on the East Coast. He's more visible. We've been talking about him since he was in high school.
Yeah.
I mean, people knew about him coming out of Vegas. He was in the big leagues by 19. You know, like, I've kind of thought for a while it was Harper. He's been a national pitch man and a big-time endorser.
Who's on the cover of MLB The Show? That's usually
you're never... If I gave you 100 guesses...
You might be able to give her 300.
I wouldn't know. Who is it?
Jazz Chisholm from Miami.
What? Why?
I don't know. And he's like, I love him. Like, he's a fun player to watch.
But why?
I no idea.
I always thought that was a representative of who the face of baseball was. I always thought that in my brain.
Last year it was Shohei.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yes.
But remember when it was Javi Baez once,
yeah, I
too.
Think Javi was on it 1 year, right? Right?
Yeah, he was.
How did they arrive at that? Is it a fan thing, Shay? Like, I don't know
how
they did arrive at that.
I would never, you're right, Shay, I would never have guessed.
I 100 guesses.
I would never have gotten there. No, never.
I don't think, like...
I'd be proud of myself for naming 100 baseball players right now, but I would never have gotten there.
I mean, it's like, why not just keep Shohei on it for another year? But, I mean, is he truly the face of baseball right now? I think he should be. I think for those of us that love sports and talk about sports and watch it, and if we love baseball, he's captivating, he's mesmerizing.
I just don't know who else it would be. I think that's who's giving him competition.
Is it Aaron Judge? Is it Bryce Harper? Is there one?
I would think Mike Trout.
I don't think he is.
But I don't think he is either. Is that because of where he plays?
I think that's a part of it.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Who is the face of baseball? I'm not asking who baseball's best player is, because I think at this point, I think we know. Shohei's the best baseball player on the planet because of what he can do.
What he can do, right. Which is unheard of. It's unheard of in our day. It's unheard of.
It is, Deanna. I mean, like, it's insane. I never thought he'd be this good at both.
Right, at both.
And so he's obviously, and I think clearly at this point, baseball's best all-around player. Like, is he really the face? It still drives me nuts to hear that, you know, the Cubs and Sox wouldn't be in. I don't care what they do on the north side. But, I mean, like, from just in terms of what you are, the brand that you are, why Ricketts wouldn't be. I wish Jerry Reinsdorf would be when he's a free agent next year.
Now, I have to take that back about Mike Trout, though, because that's where Shohei plays.
Yeah.
Like, and I would say he's...
I think he's even more, though. I think he's
past
Trout.
Because he's global.
I think that's why.
I don't know if you've been to a baseball spring training, but the amount of media to follow the international players is absurd.
I remember what it was like. I mean, I was a young reporter. We can talk about this more after the break. I was a young reporter when Ichiro came in, and I believe was 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I remember those early years being at the ballpark whenever they'd come to town, when they'd come to the South Side. It was pretty wild. 312-332-3776. And this just goes to show why the Cubs and Sox in a big market should be in on Shohei. He might not want to come to the middle part of the country, and maybe it's moot, but why they wouldn't be in and why you wouldn't pay $500 million for a guy like this right now, I don't know. When you think about the endorsement possibilities and what you can make off of Shohei.
Yeah, just having him in your uniform.
Absolutely.
Good heavens.
We can talk more about that coming up. Plus, Albert Breer will catch up with us during the 9 o'clock hour. We're back in 2 minutes.